Let us bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come into thy presence this morning. We pray that thou wilt meet with us as we meet around your word. We pray that thou wilt bless our souls. Lord, that thou wilt bless our fellowship together. May we be encouraged and blessed through thy word this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll be glad to know you have hymn books in your seats again and in your pews. So if you wish to use the hymn book, you can, or just look at the screen. You can do that. We'll commence with the Psalm 51. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion's great, blot out all mine iniquity. Verses 1 to 10 of Psalm 51 on page 48. We'll stand, if you can stand, and we'll stand for worship, please. Gracious Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious and peerless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do seek your face, O God, for your blessing upon us. We're conscious, Lord, that we need thee. We need thee to visit thy church. We need thee to visit our hearts. We need thee to come and revive us again. Wilt thou not revive us again, that we, thy people, may rejoice in thee? We pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit. We pray for a visitation of God upon thy church. Lord, we cry to thee that thou wouldst come, that thou wouldst work in our midst, O God, with power and with blessing. Lord, that thou wilt overthrow the works of darkness. And we pray, O God, that in these days thou wilt send forth thy power and thy blessing. And we pray that thou wilt work in lives, O God, to the salvation of many precious souls, that men and women bound by sin will be released from that captivity. And Lord, that they will be freed from that bondage and brought in to the family and fold of God. We pray for the working of thy Spirit this morning here in this place. Spirit of God, come down our souls to greet, that glory will crown the mercy seat, and that God himself will answer prayer for us here this day, we pray. O God, we pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit. We pray for a visitation of God upon thy work. Where there is coldness, bring warmth again into hearts. Where there is carelessness, O God, at the means of grace, bring thy people back. And we pray that thou wilt, O God, stir hearts. And Lord, remember the situation in the worldwide context too. We pray, O God, for thine intervention, even there in Ukraine today. In the situation there, O God, we pray for thy people. We pray for that nation today, for its protection. We pray for those people displaced by this terrible war. We pray that thou wilt, O God, help them at this time. Meet their physical needs. Meet their spiritual needs, we pray. And grant that they may know the Lord surrounding them and the Lord protecting them, even in this time of awful trouble. We leave them before thee today. Thou dost care for them as thou dost care for us. Lord, as we come today, remember those in our congregation too have illness. Pray for healing. But remember Sister Mary this week with a scan, be with her, Lord. Go before her, touch her. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration to wanted health and strength. O God, if it is your holy will, remember Nessie's daughter, Catherine, intervene for her this time. Answer prayer, we pray. For others too, God, that need our prayers. Lord, who are unable to be out through illness, even today we pray that thou wilt touch them and that thou wilt refresh them, and soon they'll be back in our midst again, able to join with us in the house of the Lord. Hear us now, we pray, for our own land, for our own nation, we pray. O God, for a mighty move of God the Holy Spirit in revival blessing. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning to the hymn book 278, in our hymn book 278, and we will stand again if you're able to stand for the singing of this hymn. 278. Vile and sinful though my heart may be, fully trusting, Lord, I come to thee. Thou hast power to cleanse and make me free. I am coming home. 278, we'll stand as we sing together.
Oh,
on screen this morning again about the Lord Jesus. You remember, he was in the temple at 12 years of age. And of course, he was there with the various religious leaders of his day. And he was brought up, of course, at the time of the Passover. But his parents had lost him and they couldn't find him. And you remember, they were seeking for Jesus. But they were seeking for Jesus in the wrong place. They were seeking him among his friends and family, their friends and family. But they couldn't find him. And boys and girls, often in life, you maybe have been seeking Christ, and yet you have not found him. Maybe even this morning, boys and girls, you're here in the service. You've been in the Sunday school earlier, or you've been in the children's meeting during the week, and you've been seeking the Lord Jesus, but you haven't found him yet. Well, boys and girls, you can find him today, because the Lord Jesus is here, and you can ask him into your heart. But they supposed that the Lord Jesus was there, and they went a day's journey. And in fact, the Bible tells us that they turned back to Jerusalem, and they were turning back to Jerusalem, and they were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, they couldn't find him. 3 days, boys and girls, you can imagine the distress of Mary and Joseph when they couldn't find this young boy of 12 years of age for 3 whole days. It was a very distressing time, a very difficult time for this particular family. Boys and girls, where was Jesus? Where was Jesus all this time? That they were looking for him. He was in the house of God. He was in the temple, boys and girls. He was in the temple. He was among these religious leaders of his day. He was hearing what they had to say. And he was asking them questions. Here's the greatest teacher of all. And he's listening to others. He's listening to what these men had to say. He's asking them questions. The Lord Jesus Christ. But the point I want to make is that they found Jesus. Mary and Joseph found Jesus. And boys and girls this morning, you can find the Lord Jesus. You can find him even today. And you can invite the Lord Jesus into your heart this morning. And I trust there'll be boys and girls who will do that. And next week we'll find a little bit more about this story, what happened in the temple and afterwards, after that. Boys and girls, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life today, that you might find him as your Savior. We're going to sing a chorus, boys and girls, this morning. And it's deep and wide. We'll sing it through twice, boys and girls. And we can do the actions. The first time, we're not going to sing the words deep and wide. So we'll just do the actions. So just zip your mouth at that point. We'll just do the actions for the words deep and wide. And then we'll go through the rest of it, of course. Okay.
Well, you did very well. I didn't hear anybody singing deep and wide when they shouldn't have been singing it. So that's very good. Well, we do welcome you all to our service this morning. If you're visiting or watching online, we do bid you welcome in the Lord's name. The baskets at the door for your offerings as you leave the services today, the building fund offerings are at both services today. The Gospel evening service at 7, continuing in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5 tonight. And we're speaking about a daughter delivered. And that's the subject our sister Natasha will bring ministry and song at the service. Remember the season of prayer from 6:30. We encourage the Lord's people to come early for the time of prayer, 6:30 to before 7 o'clock in the prayer room upstairs. The after church youth meeting has been cancelled tonight due to sickness circumstances. We will not have that tonight, but we will have it in 2 weeks' time, God willing, on the 20th. So I trust young people understand that for tonight. Monday, the little Sunbeams parent and toddlers from 10:30 to 11:30. If you remember that, please, the Iwanit Club from 6:45 to 8 p.m. also Monday evening. Tuesday night, the prayer meeting and Bible study. We're encouraging you to continue to pray for Ukraine and the situation there and to join us for prayer for that and for all the other issues that we're praying for. So remember that on Tuesday night as we continue the theme In Touch with the Fathers with the Father in John chapter 17. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10, the morning worship 11:30, and the evening service at 7. I will be the preacher myself at both services, and Naomi will minister in song in the evening time, the Lord willing. There's youth rally next Sunday night in our Bangor church, linking in with other County Down youth fellowships. That's next Sunday evening at 8:45 after the evening service. The last Saturday in March the 26th, Consider Christ Outreach in County Cavan. If you're interested, please contact Reverend Jonathan Crane, who is the coordinator of this. Remember all who are sick at this time, those going through treatments. Remember especially our sister Mary this Tuesday with the scan that she's due to have. Remember her, especially their family, in your prayers. And also Nessie's daughter has been very ill in Luxembourg. Do remember this situation. And others who need our prayers in these times. There's a joyous time in the McFadden family too with the birth of a little son to Julianne and Jonathan. And we congratulate them and, of course, the grandparents, Mary and George, as well. Trust the Lord's blessing will be upon them as a family at this time. And then our church anniversary service, 40th anniversary, Lord's Day the 3rd. At 11:30, when the moderator of our presbytery will be the preacher. At 7 p.m., Reverend William Whiteside, the first minister of the church, will be the preacher. The 10th of April, Reverend Derek Irwin, in the morning time, will be the preacher, and the evening time will be myself, God willing. Do remember these special services. And then Tuesday, the 5th of April, will be a special evening of praise with Reverend William McCrae and Brother Mr. Greenfield here and others taking part, and you'll be made welcome. And there'll be invites for these for distribution very soon. As we said, we keep you updated with Ukraine and the situation there, and we trust that you will remember that. Obviously, there are things we don't want to just mention in public announcements, but we do try to keep you informed day by day as these things come in and you're updated. And we appreciate all the financial support that has been given. And our brother Donald appreciates that as well. So keep that much in prayer, as I know you are. And then could I just mention that our presbytery is meeting on Friday night, appointed Reverend Samuel Murray as interim moderator of the congregation here in Ballygowan. Mr. Murray will be able to act immediately in this role, although I'm still the minister. It's a bit maybe confusing for some people, but I'm the minister until the 4th of September, but Mr. Murray will be able to talk to session and so forth, committee if need be, in the interim period. So remember that, please. Remember him in your prayers as he takes up this role in our congregation here in Ballygowan. Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Foster felt the need to come back here, that the Lord is calling them home from Uganda. Do remember this family in your prayers. Andrew and his wife and little one, the Lord's hand will be upon them. We appreciate their service there in the land of Uganda. I think these are all the announcements. I have to make James just wants to come and make an announcement now, please.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Folks, just very briefly, a few weeks ago we made the announcement initially advising you of the dinner that's being planned for the Reverend Smiley. We have now finalised the details in relation to that, and those details have been put on a letter, and the details of the menu, etc. Those will be handed out at the end of the service. So if you see the men, approach them. They have those letters and the background detail there for you. We ask you to do that. Look at it. We would ask you to bear in mind the date that is mentioned on the letter for returning the details to us. It is the 17th of April, Easter Sunday. After that date, it will be opened out to other churches, other ministers. There is already an extensive list of guests which are already being invited and have already received that invitation. So we're trying to say to you, get your name back in early, so that we're throwing it out to our own people first, our own congregational members and communicant members, that you get first choice. But we would ask you to read that letter, bear that in mind, and indeed just follow the simple instructions on it. If there's something maybe we have missed, something you're not sure about, some question you may have, feel free to approach any of the brethren and we will endeavour to get that answered for you. But just to let you know, initially this morning, those details are available. Pick up the letter from the men. They'll be at the doors and see them and take it home with you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
We're going to continue in our worship this morning with 280, hymn number 280, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Great hymn of top ladies. The final verse, of course, was written by Dr. Paisley and added to the hymn. 280, we'll stand as we sing together.
My
may be seated. If you have your Bible with you, or you can turn to a Bible in the pew, we ask you to turn there, please, to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. 2 Kings chapter 5, and reading together from the opening verse. Let us hear the word of God this morning. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that was of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman sent and came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive not.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused." Amen. Ending our reading there at verse 16, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow together for a moment of prayer, please. Let us all engage in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to thee, and we pray for help as we come to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention to the verses we have just read from Holy Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5. Lessons from the life of Elisha. The subject today is the captain cleansed. The captain cleansed. Elisha was a miracle-working prophet. who ministered to all sorts of people. And as they brought their needs were met. We've already seen in chapter 4 that the son of the Shunammite was raised to life. Elijah, of course, his predecessor, had raised the widow's son to life again in 1 Kings 17. And so we, in the course of our lives, meet with all sorts of people with all sorts of needs. And we rejoice that we can point them to the one who can meet their need, who can work that miracle of grace in their hearts and lives. And the incident before us today in the life and ministry of Elisha shows us just what the Lord can do. How life-changing his intervention is. He is the one who makes the difference. And thank God he can make the difference in your life this morning if you've come here or are listening to this service. Without the Lord, thank God he can make the difference for you. And as we focus upon this incident in Scripture, I want to focus upon this theme: the captain cleansed. First of all, the character of this man Naaman, who's mentioned here. Verse 1 reveals that to us. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. So he was a man of high rank. He was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. The king of Syria at this time was Ben-Hadad II. And as commander of this army, Naaman was the number 2 man in the nation. That's how high his position was. It was a very high position. It was a position of great power and authority. He's described here as a great man with his master, or before his master. He was highly regarded. The king had great trust in him. And so he proved himself in the role that he occupied. He was a great man. But he was also a gracious man. Because the Bible tells us here he was honorable, and that means gracious. So he had a lot of commendable things about him, about his character. So he seemed very suited to the position that he occupied and that had been given to him. He was a great man. He was a gracious man. He was a gifted man. The Bible tells us here, by him the Lord had given deliverance or victory unto Syria. So he was gifted in the strategy of war. He was gifted as a leader of men, and of course as one victorious in battle. There are those in history who stand out in this way, as Naaman did here. A mighty man of valor. And so he had many things going for him. You could say that Naaman, at this particular point of his life, as far as his career and his position was concerned, he was at the height of his powers. He was looked up to by many. He was highly regarded and respected by the king above him, by those who worked alongside him, and by those who worked under him. And maybe today you're of good character in the workplace. In the community where you live, maybe you're considered a pillar of society. However, Naaman had a serious problem. The character of this man. But I want to come, secondly, to the condition of this man, because here is the serious problem he had. Verse 1 ends with these words, these sad words: but he was a leper. But he was a leper. Naaman was afflicted with the most dreadful, disfiguring and deadly disease of his day, that of leprosy.
In Israel, leprosy was known as the stroke of God. A man, woman, boy or girl, to be under this terrible stroke was instantly cut off from the nation, cut off from society, cut off as far as their own family even was concerned. And so there was separation here, as far as this awful disease of leprosy was concerned. The person, young or old, rich or poor, great or small, became an outcast, an untouchable. They had to stand off when people approached them, put their hand over their mouth and cry at the top of their voice the warning of the leper, unclean, unclean. Of course, the same strict quarantine code was not enforced in Syria, at least not for someone as successful as Naaman was. But for all of that, there was not a soul in Syria who would have wanted to stand in Naaman's shoes if it meant suffering from his sores and suffering from this dreadful affliction that he had. For he was a leper. What good did it do Naaman to be rich and to be renowned, to be respected and highly regarded when he was a leper? And God, what good was it for him to have won victories and to have led armies and to have a place in the court of King Ben-Hadad when he was a leper? What could it do to have people bow before him? And when he came into the room, they would have respected him highly and spoken to him in respectful terms. And all the while they were side glancing at him with the words, "He's a leper. He's a leper." What good were all of his possessions and promotions when day by day this dreadful disease devoured his flesh, when day by day death was drawing nearer to him? Perhaps when it first started, the leprosy was just a little spot of white flesh on his wrist. If he were to drop some scalding water on his wrist, it didn't hurt. That patch of flesh was dead already. He was insensitive to pain. He was a leper. It was easy enough for him back then to hide his affliction. He could pull down the sleeve of his robe and bury the dread secret in his soul. Fine linen and lace made a brave outward show, but he was a leper just the same. And he knew it. And he also knew how it would end. The leprosy that he had would grow and would spread. This terrible scourge would spread throughout his body. He would be loathing in the eyes of those that were closest to him. Some other people would seize his position and his power because he was a leper. It's no wonder that in the Bible, leprosy, my friends, is a type or a symbol of sin. You see, Naaman's dreadful butt can be written across everyone's life. No matter how clever and successful and accomplished one is, no matter what one's station is in life, we can say of them, "But they are a sinner." That's written over your life this morning. It's written over all our lives. That little word, "but," eats up all our assets and leaves us morally and spiritually bankrupt in the sight of God. Unclean, unclean must be everybody's cry this morning. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags," or as it is, leprous rags. Paul said in Ephesians 5:5, "For this ye know, that no unclean person hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Naaman's miserable condition is our miserable condition. His was a disease of body, but ours today is a disease of soul. And it all begins in such a small way. It seems so easy to cover it up, but it spreads, my friend. And the lace and linen of respectability and religion cannot hide the truth for long. In the end, we stand exposed for what we are, sinners by nature and by practice. The disease has taken a firm hold upon you. You're sinners by birth. We're sinners by birth and by choice. By practice. Nor is there any doctor or psychologist on earth that has a prescription or cure. The first thing Naaman did that led to his cure was to face the big bad but in his life. But it was a leper. There was no pretending anymore, no covering up anymore. He was a leper. And the first thing we do, and we need to do, if it is to be something that we address quickly, is our miserable condition. Covering up the truth won't help. Look yourself in the eye and admit today that you're a sinner. Oh, you may be respected. You may be religious. You may be successful. You may be doing good deeds in society, giving to charities. You may be a good husband or a good wife, a good son or daughter or brother or sister. But you're a sinner in God's sight. Will you take the place of a sinner today and admit that you need a Savior? That you're unclean. You're undone. This will produce what old-fashioned preachers call conviction of sin. It is the first work of the Holy Spirit in the human soul, and without it, nobody can be healed. Without it, my friends, nobody can be saved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 to 13, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the first place and the first point that you need to come to, my friend, is that you admit you're a sinner. And that's what Naaman needed to do. Until he faced the fact of his leprous condition, he was without hope. But when he honestly faced it, his salvation was not far away. The condition of this man. I want you to see, thirdly, the conceptions of this man. You see, he had mistaken conceptions. As you read this context here in 2 Kings 5, you will see that. In some ways, these misconceptions that he had, or wrong conceptions that he had, were worse than the disease. But there was there, in Naaman's household, a little slave girl. It's one of the delights that we will have in heaven, friend, to meet that little girl, that little maid, that little Hebrew girl. She was remarkable for two reasons. First of all, for her forgiveness. And here she was, stolen away from her home, dragged away into a foreign country, purchased by a stranger, a slave, forced to wait hand and foot on a foreign woman. She might well have hated both God and the people. She might well have spent her days cursing under her breath and her nights weeping and vowing revenge. But she wasn't revengeful. When she found out that Naaman was a leper, she might have said, "Good, That's God's stroke of judgment on her. But she didn't think like that at all. She had a beautiful, forgiving spirit. She felt sorry for Naaman, for his wife. A lot of Christians could learn a lesson from that, couldn't they? Forgiving spirit. How we need that. When something awful happens to someone, never you say, that's God's judgment on them. Never say it, friend. We need to have pity and compassion towards them. Or never write it on the internet, friend. Or on social media. You don't know what those persons, you don't know what they were going through. Have pity. Have compassion. That's what this girl had. What an example. She knew of a Savior back home and she spoke of him. Look at verse 3. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She didn't want Naaman to be punished. She wanted Naaman to be saved. And her heart went out to that important man in all his need. What a wonderful young woman this is. She was remarkable for her forgiveness. But then secondly, she was remarkable for her faith. Look at verse 4. The prophet that is in Samaria, or verse 3 rather, will recover him of his leprosy. She'd never seen or heard of anyone being cleansed of leprosy. Here's the thrilling faith of a little unnamed girl. She had faith to believe that this could happen. It wasn't long before the words of the little maid came to the attention of Naaman. But he only half listened to what she said. He had his own notions about these things. And of course these notions that he had kept getting in the way. First of all, we discover he looked to the wrong person. The young Roman had directed him to the prophet, as verse 3 says. But he went not to a prophet. He didn't deal with prophets. He dealt with kings. That's the position he was in, of course. And the circles that he was mingling with. And so he desired to get a letter from the king of Syria to introduce him to the king of Israel. And we read of that. The king of Israel could do nothing for him. He was astounded even that he should get even such a letter. He rent his clothes in consternation. Elisha, the prophet of God, with the double portion of Elijah's spirit upon him, he could do something. But Naaman had no thought of him. A preacher? A prophet? No way. He insisted on an audience with the king. And so off he went to the wrong person. And let me tell you today, millions do the same in this world. They're going to the wrong person. Seeking salvation, seeking help in their time of need. My friend, you need to get to the great prophet himself, the prophet, priest, and king, the Lord Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't go to the wrong person. He went to the wrong person. Secondly, he went and he had the wrong price. Look at verse 5. He brought these 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. An enormous amount of money was involved here. There was nothing that he wouldn't have paid for his salvation, for his healing. But friend, he could never have had enough to buy God's salvation. In any case, God's salvation is not for sale. It's not for sale. The price has already been paid at infinite cost. By the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Salvation purchased for us at such a cost is not offered for sale. We sung those wonderful words this morning. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. The wrong price. But then there was a wrong procedure. When he was told by Elisha the prophet that he must go and wash in the despised waters, or what he considered despised waters of the Jordan, he was enraged. Look at verse 11. You see, it had all figured out. He knew exactly what was the right procedure for curing a leper. He'd never seen it done, like most people, but he considered himself an expert when it came to the matter of his own salvation. It was his way or no way. And so he went off in the huff. Even worse than a huff. An absolute rage. In Naaman's mind, there could be no salvation without some kind of ceremony or ritual. To him, astonishment, the prophet didn't even come to the door. He just sent a servant down to tell him what to do. God's way of salvation in no way ministers to human pride, friend. Let Naaman go to the Jordan or go home. Naaman was furious, absolutely full of rage. And there are millions of people in this world, and maybe listening even to this service, or maybe even in this service this morning, and you're just the same. You think salvation is bound up in some ceremony or baptism or communion or something else. Salvation has nothing to do with these things at all, friend. Absolutely nothing to do with it. It is the blood of Christ or nothing, friend. You can take it or leave it this morning. Let me be curt, but let me say it with compassion. You can take it or leave it. That's the way it is. We have to change our mistaken concepts. For God will not change his terms, friend. The wrong place. That's the next thing. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpha, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And multitudes today have the same idea that Naaman. There's some special place that they must go to. Pilgrimage to Mecca, to the Ganges, to Lourdes, to Lough Derg, to the Knox Shrine, to Crookpatrick, to the Stations of the Cross. Even one man said, when he was asked about salvation, I have to go to the hall he was brought up in. I'll tell you, friend, salvation's not in a hall or in a church. Oh, you may hear the message there. But it's not a ceremony. Not a ceremony. And some people even think you go to Rome when the Pope proclaims a holy year and visit all the shrines in Rome. But none of these places, however seemingly virtuous, will save. Luther discovered that. He went through it all the penances, went to Rome. He discovered none of those things could save you. No church can save you. No Free Presbyterian Church, or any parson or priest or bishop or pope can save you. Only Christ can save you. There's a place, friend, where God will meet the sinner. Wash away their guilt and sin. That place is called Calvary. Come to the cross, friend, this morning. Naaman had his mistaken conceptions, and they were more perilous than his leprosy. It almost kept him from the salvation God had in store for him. But there's one final thing I come to today, the cleansing for this man. Look at verse 13. And the servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said unto thee, Wash and be clean. You notice the message he heard here from his servants. What he was asked to do was something very simple, very straightforward. Yet for him it was the hardest thing. To overcome his fierce pride, his stubborn prejudice, even against the River Jordan, the land of Israel. Will you humble yourself today and accept God's salvation on God's terms? There's no other way, friend. No other way. See, people try to change the terms of salvation today. It's a different way. There's a softer way, softer landing, as it were. No, friend. When I go out of here on the 4th of September, you can never say, I told you that, because you'd be telling a lie. I have all these years, and everywhere else I've preached this same message. Let no one contend with me on that. Oh, people may not like it. I'm not here to get people to like me, friend. I'm here to be faithful to God, to be faithful to your souls, Lord. For one day I'll stand at the judgment, give account. Will you humble yourself in God's terms today? These terms may not minister to your vanity or conform to your own ideas, but they're simple enough. Wash and be clean. At last Naaman heard the message. God did not want him to do a great thing, just a small thing, just a simple thing, just a childlike thing. A little child can understand. Little ones this morning, you can understand what I'm saying. Wash and be clean. That's what the Lord's asking you to do. That's what he was asking Naaman to do. The miracle was done. Verse 14, he went down. He humbled himself, you see, and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He dipped 7 times in Jordan. You see, here was perfect obedience. 7, the number of perfection. Complete obedience. And when he did that, at that moment, he was cleansed from his leprosy. He didn't grow into it. He didn't, after a period of time, become clean. No, at that very moment, immediately, instantaneously, he became clean. My friend, this gospel transforms lives. This gospel regenerates people, makes them new creatures. And that's patently evident to everyone who's been around the gospel for any length of time. And I have been around it, friend, all of my life. All of these 64 years, I've been around the gospel. There's people here who have been around it even a lot longer than that. And the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This gospel is dynamic, friend. That's what it means. Dynamic. To everyone that believeth. I want you to see the master was honored. That's the final thing. Naaman went back to Elisha to give thanks. Verse 15. How important that is. Remember the leper? One of the 10. He went back to give thanks. Sometimes we forget about that. About giving thanks. But this man did. And then off home he went to spread the news far and wide, to worship the one Lord God of Israel. And that too is part of the gospel. Those who experience this marvelous cleansing will want to spread the word. They will want to honor the Master. That's what this man did. They will want to worship him in his appointed way. And everywhere they go, by lip and by life, they will carry with them the undeniable evidence of a transformed, cleansed, and radiant life. Honor the Master. We sung those words. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. I must save and thou alone. The captain cleansed. you be cleansed this morning. If it's the last breath that I breathe from this pulpit, I urge you to come. Trust Christ this morning. Be saved. Let us pray. Father, indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of the heart the holy word of God. It be a saving word to hearts today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. The words of the hymn 276, if you're turning to the hymn book, or if you're using the screen, it'll be on the screen. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. 276, and we will stand as we sing together and then remain standing for the closing prayer. Presbyterian Church this morning. I trust the Lord will bless you. If you have interest in what we've been saying or concerned about your soul, please make contact with us or speak with us after this service this morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you today, tonight, tomorrow, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, and then with all who are saved forevermore.
Amen. Let us bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come into thy presence this morning. We pray that thou wilt meet with us as we meet around your word. We pray that thou wilt bless our souls. Lord, that thou wilt bless our fellowship together. May we be encouraged and blessed through thy word this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll be glad to know you have hymn books in your seats again and in your pews. So if you wish to use the hymn book, you can, or just